This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow the Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, was the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People will ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Sabres taking on the Pittsburgh Penguins tonight. Downtown. Puck drops at 7. Pregame here at 6 on WGR. Paul Hamilton joins me now on the West Hur Hotline. Paul, I just had a conversation with Josh. I said, as of right now, would you say yes or no if I said the Sabres will or will not finish in last place in the Eastern Conference? I think we both agreed that they will not, based on how they're playing and the teams ahead of them are playing, and the Sabres have three games in hand. So, no, they're not going to get into a playoff spot, but I'm comfortable in saying they might very well be able to pass the Penguins, the Flyers, and the Bruins.
At least the Flyers. I mean, the Flyers just are, and the Bruins are both in free fall right now, and the Sabres actually play the Flyers this weekend, so it could be as early as this weekend. But I would agree, the way things are going right now, it's looking like they at least will get out of the cellar. And as I said, if you wanted me to pick a team, I would say probably the Flyers.
I hear practice going on in the background. I see on social media that James Reimer is in the net once again. Very interesting, Paul Hamilton, that James Reimer might get his third straight start here in goal.
Yeah, that is interesting. And there's a couple of – I've been thinking about this, and I've been saying all along that I just think they should be riding Luukkonen right now just because of where they are in the standings. If they were in contention for a playoff spot, I would say definitely Reimer would be the guy that should be in goal. You know, he right now gives you the best chance to win. Lindy Ruff might be looking at it a different way. He's looking at that he's got to teach these guys how to win and how to play the right way on a consistent basis. And part of playing the right way on a consistent basis is getting good goaltending, which they've gotten, which has helped them win two games that before the game you would have thought, well, they probably aren't going to win this, especially as how tired they could be with three games in four and four and six. But good goaltending can be an equalizer right away, and that might be his thought process is this team doesn't know how to win. And this team doesn't know how to play consistently. And if you start in goal and you have consistency in goal and making the big save, that gives you a chance to win and gives you a chance to maybe get used to that winning and what you have to do to win hockey games. So that might be his thought process here.
I am very interested, and I've talked to you about this. We've even talked, I think last time you were on, about the goaltending going forward for this team. I mean, at this point, you'd have to expect it's Luukkonen and Devon Levi next year with the big club, right? Or am I just assuming too much?
No, I would think so, especially if Kevin Adams is still around. Right now, neither are proven. I mean, it looked like at the end of last year in his last 35 games that Luukkonen was proven as a number one goaltender. He had some of the best numbers in the NHL for those 35 games, but it has not worked out that way this year. He has not played like that on a consistent basis. At times he has, but not enough. And every time Levi gets up, it hasn't worked in the NHL. He's been handed the job twice now and has not been able to hold it. But now he's also been getting the development that he should have gotten before, that he's now getting. You know, that he got last year at the end of the year. It was late, but he got it. And this year he gets pretty much a full season in Rochester to take that team and do what he wants. His resume would tell you he will be a good NHL goaltender. Just from the fact that he is arguably the best college goaltender that's ever played. And he's an all-star in the American Hockey League and has had that team in first place for some of the year this year. So, you know, then it would tell you that he can make the jump to the next level. It just hasn't happened yet. So it's still, you'd be going into the season with ifs again, which is what the Buffalo Sabres have been doing for how many years, going into the season with ifs. And or you could look to trade for a top flight goaltender who you're going to have to pay $8, $9, $10 million and decide we have to have goaltending. If we don't have goaltending, we're going nowhere. And you can do it that way, and then, you know, pick one of your two young goaltenders you want to be the backup and send the other one on his way. I mean, I hate spending that kind of money on goaltending, but maybe I have to reevaluate my thought process there, because, you know, Vasilevskiy makes a lot of money and they won the Stanley Cup, but Carey Price made a lot of money too, over $10 million, and the Montreal Canadiens never won with him. So, but Bobrovsky makes a lot of money in Florida, and it just seems like a lot of the time. Now, Chicago didn't pay their goaltenders a lot when they won three Stanley Cups, you know, I don't know. It's an interesting thought to think about.
A lot of people wondering about Lindy Ruff's future, and I think post-game after the Senators game the other night gave us a clue into how this is going to shake out, which to me, and you tell me if I'm interpreting it the same way as you, feels like he will be back behind the bench next year.
The way he was talking after his 600th Buffalo Sabre win the other night, it sounds like it's a job unfinished that he wants to finish, and he's very annoyed with himself that it hasn't been better this year. He said, you know, he said, I always think I can fix things, and I haven't been able to fix this, and it really bothers him. And he says, I need to get this right. And that told me everything I needed to know, because I wondered if this season just drained him to the point that, you know, he didn't want to coach anymore. But it didn't sound like that the other night.
No, it didn't for sure. And I wonder if this team did make the playoffs, if he would have kind of ridden off into the sunset and said, hey, my job here is done. I'm handing it off. And maybe the reason why he's coming back is because that didn't happen. You know what I mean, Paul?
He desperately would want us to win a Stanley Cup for this community. He lives in this community in the off season. He's coached this team for many, many years in two different stints. It just dominates his mind. I mean, he desperately wants to win a Stanley Cup for this community, and of course himself too. But it's something that it drives him. It's something that burns inside of him. It's something that's annoyed him that he's not been able to do it. I think that's his motivation, is trying to win a Stanley Cup for this community.
Follow Paul on X at PHAM1717, where he has tweeted out that he does not see Josh Norris, Jordan Greenway, or Jason Zucker on the ice. All right, any status update on them? I know you can't officially yet because you haven't heard from Lindy Rupp, but what can you tell us about these three players and possibly what's going on?
Yeah, we weren't around yesterday because the Lindy Rupp canceled practice. So after the grueling schedule that they had. So we weren't around yesterday to get updates, but Norris is we talked to him personally before the Ottawa game, and he's frustrated with it. It's not going as fast as he'd like it to be.
What's the injury, Paul? Has he said?
No, he hasn't said, but he said it's something he had, then it was fine. And it was somewhere around the Detroit game that he re-aggravated it. And it's something that he's been kind of going back and forth with all year, but it really hadn't been bothering him for a while. Now all of a sudden it was, and he kind of thought he'd be back by now and hasn't been. The question was asked, might you shut it down for the year? And he said, no, he's not looking at that at all. He said it's just basically right now a day-to-day process to try to go forward. Greenway, all we know is that that is a lower body injury, and it was not from blocking the shot in that game because he only played a few more shifts after he blocked that shot, but it's something else. It's not that. Zucker is new, so we'll find out after the morning skate here that we're watching what's up with him. And Lafferty, Lindy Ruff, last time we asked him about him, said he's actually coming along faster than they thought he would. So he was more encouraged about Lafferty's groin injury maybe coming around and being where he'd be able to be available for the team too.
Paul, there's not a lot of things I'm right when I say things, but I think I've always been right on one thing. John Tortorella can be a nice culture changer, but it doesn't last with him. He is out in Philadelphia. It's just he wears on people. We know his style of coaching, and maybe they even, you know, were better than people expected last year, but it didn't go back that way this year. 28-36-9 overall. He is out. He has stepped down. What do you think about the change being made? Obviously, Tortorella connections to the Sabres organization from years ago, but how about the change coming in Philadelphia?
Yeah, I had a conversation with Daniel Briere about John Tortorella last year, and he just said, I love the way he coaches. He really, you know, he was on board with them. He liked how he did. But, you know, this is a results league, you know, and they certainly aren't getting results, and the team does not seem to be responding to him. The same thing with Laviolette with the Rangers. He's won cups, but he just doesn't last. It looks like, you know, he's still the Rangers coach, but for how much longer? I mean, it just like it seems like some coaches, they just wear on teams. They just wear on teams, and then it just doesn't work anymore. It works for a while, and then it doesn't work anymore. And I think those are two coaches that we read in the front of the line when it comes to that.
Yeah, for sure. Tortorella, years ago.
And John's won a cup, too, with Tampa Bay.
Yeah, for sure. And, like, when I say that, like, yeah, he's a championship coach. He's a Stanley Cup winning coach. But if you look at his career, it kind of goes the same way in a lot of stops, which is he gets there, and there's a spike, and they play better. But as it goes on, it just starts to wear, and then eventually they become a team that says, okay, we got to make a change. Now, look, that's not different than a lot of places, but it is kind of the MO of John Tortorella and where it goes. His coaching style, Paul, you've been around him. Do you think it works in today's NHL and with today's professional athlete?
Well, Lindy Ruff had to change his style. I mean, yeah. And he's talked about it himself. And, you know, I used to talk to former players about how he used to be ruthless on Thomas Vanek and Derek Roy. I mean, he would belittle them. He would just in front of teammates and everything. And Lindy Ruff admitted it himself. He talked about Vanek. He goes, yeah, I've had conversations with Thomas Vanek recently. And, you know, he goes, I was hard on Thomas Vanek. But that's not what you can do with players anymore. It has to be more of a softer approach. Players seem to have more leverage on coaches now. It seems like players, if they decide they don't like coaches, can get coaches fired, depending on who the players are. And that's not the way it used to be. It used to be the coaches had the hammer. And I think nowadays the star players have the hammer with what they want to do. And, you know, it just is a different atmosphere. You can't be that type of coach that Tortorella or Ruff or Scotty Bowman or you name the guy was back, I hate saying this phrase, but in the day. You know, those types of coaches don't last in the NHL anymore.
Paul, before I let you go, Alex Ovechkin, 6 more goals to break Wayne Gretzky's all-time record. They play the Sabres a couple games from now. Let's hope it doesn't happen. He didn't need to probably 4 in their next game and a couple against the Sabres or 3-3 or whatever. But, you know, it might not happen by the end of this year. This is a really interesting situation, isn't it? He's obviously, he's close. He needs six, but they only have, I think, what, seven, eight games remaining, something like that. I have to take a look exactly what it is. I don't know. Are you dialed into this? Are you really interested in when this happens, how it happens, everything like that?
I was actually hoping it did happen against the Sabres because I would have been there.
Yeah, so I can understand that, too.
I would have been there for that, so that would have been cool. I've been dialed into it, and you know, it's the TV coverage and everything is going to ramp up, and the fans in Washington like lost their minds when they found out that their broadcasters wouldn't be broadcasting it, so their broadcasters are just going to do a broadcast that's not on the air, and then once the goal comes, they will re-air it, the broadcast. You know, it'll become a broadcast then, so fans can, hear their guy call the goal and watch the game with their guys, because just like when Judge was doing for the home run, mm-hmm. and everything, although baseball's different, they didn't lose their local broadcasts, but it's the national broadcasts are going to take over for this.
Yeah, I misspoke. They have 11 games left. He needs six goals. I went back and looked and said, and I thought to myself, how long has it taken to score the previous six that he's had? It was 12 games, actually. So this is going to be right on the cusp. But you know what's going to happen, Paul. They're in a good spot. They've already clinched a playoff spot. They have a really good record. They're going to feed him to try and get this record towards the end here. I mean, they have the Blue Jackets and then the Islanders. And then how about this? And considering him and Sid, they play the Pittsburgh Penguins in game number 82 in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. With the rivalry that is.
Yes.
And the networks would like... That's their dream. That's their dream right there.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, Paul, I'm going to let you go. I know you got some stuff going on with
practice. Yeah, they just ended practice. They're just kneeling and stretching now, so I got to head down and get some pregame stuff.
You do that, and we'll get you information about the injured guys, too. Thanks a lot, Paul. We'll talk to you later.
Yep, take care.
All right, you got it. PM1717 on Twitter. If I had more time with Paul, I wanted to ask him and get into, and we will at some point, Ovechkin and Gretzky. I just think it's a fascinating discussion because, yes, I am fully aware it was way easier to score goals in the 1980s when Wayne Gretzky played. There's no doubt. I also want to remind everybody, Wayne Gretzky played in an era where you could not pass the puck over two lines. Do you remember that when that happened, Josh? They made the change?
Two-line pass. That was the stupidest rule ever.
Right, but think about it. I mean, yes, goalies were definitely not as good. They didn't do the butterfly, and they stood up, and they had smaller equipment. I'm not debating that. It was easier to score, quote-unquote, when Gretzky played on a goalie. They also had no two-line pass allowed. You could not stretch the ice like you could now and get them going. And they played in smaller rinks. I mean, the odd in Boston Garden were really small compared to the rest of the rinks. They made a change in the NHL at some point and said, every rink has to be the same size. So in that regard, it was also harder to score some goals. He also has, as we've talked about before, no one will ever touch his assists record. So he wasn't just scoring the goals. And yes, this is me opining and saying and, you know, my love for Gretzky because he's a childhood hockey hero. And I hate seeing his record broken, but he deserves it, Alex Ovechkin. It is interesting. Did you know the number of games played? So Ovechkin is six goals away from breaking Gretzky's record. Do you know how many games they played compared to each other, Josh?
Isn't it like Ovechkin's behind him by like 10 or something right now?
Six now, yeah.
Oh, six.
Six.
Wow.
He's six goals away and he's played six less games ever in the regular season. It's amazing. It's interesting. So, yeah, that's happening. The Sabres do take on the Washington Capitals in Washington. Is that Sunday? I think that's Sunday, right? At 3:00. But he would need five. He needs six goals in two games, including that game. They play at the Wild. That game is tonight at 7:30. That's Ovechkin. That Ovechkin watched tonight. How many will Ovechkin get tonight and need before he gets to play the Sabres? If he gets a hat trick tonight, he can break it against the Sabres with a hat trick. Think about that for a second. Which is what Gretzky did, by the way, when he broke the all-time single-season goals record. He scored a hat-trick in Buffalo to break the record. I just think it's a great discussion, Ovechkin-Gretzky. I think there's a lot of nuance to it as well because eras change, lots of things change, technology changes, rules change. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back here. We'll wrap up your first hour, then get to Pete Lembo at the top of the hour on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Before I do, though, I have to remind everybody that Paul Hamilton's appearances on WGR, as always, are brought to you by Equitable Advisors, thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Take a time out here on WGR.